of Genesis all the way to Bethlehem, straight to the cross of Calvary. You say, Brother Fred, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. There is a, when I say scarlet, what I mean is the blood thread or the blood-collared thread that goes in and out through the pages of Scripture. Now, here's the bottom line. We need to see Jesus. Amen? Can we all agree on that? The last person you need to see is Fred Hart. We need to see Christ. What I want to do is this. I want to walk through the entire Scripture and show you that Christ is in every book of the Bible. And understand that the Bible is a revelation of God. It is God revealing Himself to man. Now, the Bible's not everything there is to know about God, but it's everything that God wants us to know about Him. It's a progressive revelation. And what that means is this. God didn't just tell us everything that He wanted us to know immediately. He progressively reveals Himself beginning in Genesis. And all the way through the book of Revelation, God keeps unfolding for us different beautiful facets and features of His character and nature. I've said this so many times, and I've made up my mind that I'm going to repeat myself. Would you be okay with that? One reason why I want to repeat myself is I want you to be able to repeat me. And I want to say things so many times that you catch them. Some things are not taught, they're caught. And I hope that you'll catch some things and be able to repeat them. When we look at the Scripture, and as we go through the entire Bible, I want you to see it's all about Christ. And every book is about God. Now, here's what I've said. I've said the book of Jonah, what is it about? Is it about a man that gets swallowed by a whale? Yes and no. Yes, it is a man about a man that got swallowed by a whale, but really it's about God and His love for the city of Nineveh and how that God can control a fish in the sea and how that God has control of the winds and the waves. It's really telling us about God's power and His might and His ability, you see? You can say that about every book of the Bible. So when we read the Scripture, what we're trying to find out is, what is God trying to teach me about Himself? What is God trying to reveal to me about His nature and His character? Well, there's one thing that is absolutely sure. As we read through the Bible, there's not a book in the Bible that, whether it be directly or indirectly, they all point to Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why a thread is the best picture. When you look at a thread, sometimes it is exposed, and sometimes it is not. If you had a red thread that was going through this jacket, you would see it. Oh, there it is, there it's not, there it is, there it's not, there it is, there it's not. You see what I'm saying? Well, that's the way Christ is throughout the Scripture. But make no mistake, He's always there. I want you to look with me in the book of Luke, chapter 24, and I just want to read to you one verse. The Bible says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." So what the Lord Jesus Christ does here in this verse, when He's walking down the road to Emmaus with these disciples, they had expected that Jesus would have been the Messiah. They had full anticipation that He was the Savior of the world, and they were so disappointed because now He's dead and buried. And of course, their hearts are so heavy because their potential Redeemer, their potential Messiah, has disappointed them. And they think, oh, now we have no hope again. But to be honest about it, it was Jesus Christ that was walking with them along the way. They did not have faith to believe His word. Now He had resurrected from the grave, and the Bible says in verse 20, "And beginning at Moses," and let's define that, that's the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are the books of the law. Some people may call them the Pentateuch. But we understand that Jesus systematically says, okay, guys, listen, now let me take you to Genesis and show you where I'm at in Genesis. Let me show you where I'm at in Exodus. Let me show you where I'm at in Leviticus. Let me show you where I'm at in Numbers. Let me show you where I'm at in Deuteronomy, okay? And then the Bible doesn't stop there. Look with me at verse 27. It says, and all the prophets. Now, we understand that there are two types of prophets, and then they're actually all prophets, but we label them or characterize them as major prophets and minor prophets. Major prophets are, there's five of those, and those major prophets are called major prophets not because they have a major message, but they're major in size. They're huge. It's going to take you a while to read through those. And then there's minor prophets, and some of them are just simply a chapter, but they still have a major message. They're still so important for us. There's a total of 17, five major and 12 minor prophets. And what the Lord Jesus Christ did is to help the disciples with their unbelief, he systematically went through the Old Testament scriptures, beginning at Moses, and then notice what the Bible says in verse 27. Would you mark this word? And all the prophets. He didn't leave any of them out. And then the Bible says he expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I want you to look with me in the book of John. Would you turn with me to John chapter 5? And I want to share with you a second thought here. John chapter 5. And I want you to look with me at verse 39. John chapter 5 and verse 39. I have the wrong verse here, and I'm looking for it. This is a different Bible, and it's a different place. If you find that verse that I'm looking for, somebody call it out to me, or else I'm going to have to read this whole chapter. And you guys don't even know what I'm looking for, do you? It's, search the scriptures. Is it 29? 39. I mean, that's the problem. I'm in the wrong chapter. This Bible is brand new, and I'm trying to get it broke in. I thought I was right. I'm in the right place now. Thank you. The Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We find out that each and every one of the scriptures are a testimony of our Savior. Now, what I want to do is I want to just go quickly what we've already covered in Sunday school. And to be honest about it, if it were up to me, I'd start all over again. Many of you are in my adult Sunday school class, and I don't want to do that. But I want to begin in Genesis and just very quickly move through, and I'm going to give you verse by verse. Just very quickly, if you'd like to mark them, where we see Christ most clearly. Now, I'm going to move through the first five very quickly. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 is the first one. And we have the first promise of the Redeemer. Genesis 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The word his there, of course, is making reference to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this first prophecy that God would send a Redeemer. And what happened is this began what is called the Messianic expectancy. The Old Testament Jews, from this point forward, began to expect a Redeemer, a Messiah, a Savior. In the book of Exodus, you'll find the clearest picture in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Exodus 12 and verse 13 in the Passover. Remember that the Lord was calling out the nation of Israel from Egypt, and he did that with plagues, very mighty and very powerful plagues. There were 10 of them. 9 had already taken place, and this is the 10th of 10 plagues. And God was going to put to death the firstborn male child of every family that didn't have the blood over the lintel post. And that blood is, of course, a picture of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Exodus 12 and verse 13. Can you hear? And here's what I want you to see. Two things. Number one, I want you to see Christ here in verse 13. And then number two, I want you to listen. There's no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ began to explain to those disciples on the road to Emmaus, this is me. I'm that lamb. I'm that sacrificial lamb. The Bible says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now look with me in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, we find in the book of Exodus redemption by blood. I should have mentioned that to you. Redemption by blood. It's the first mention in the scripture that God is going to use blood to redeem his people. And they do that through the Passover lamb. And of course, we understand ultimately the Passover blood, or that redemptive blood, was the blood that would be shed on Calvary. And then Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, here we find atonement through blood. Now remember, atonement is not a good word. It's in the Bible, but it's not as powerful as what we have today. The word atonement means covering. I don't like that. It's kind of like the word pardon. I don't like the word pardon either. And I'm going to say, Brother Fred, we sing about that. Listen, pardon and atonement are weak words. They're words that don't truly reflect what we are in Jesus Christ. I'll share with you that thought in a moment. But in the book of Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. He says, I've given you the blood to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The clearest picture of Jesus Christ, and I can't imagine Jesus Christ talking to those men on the road to Emmaus, that blood from each sacrifice, the blood that was upon the altar, was a picture of my blood that I shed on Calvary just a few days ago. That's what I did. And the Lord opened their eyes so that they would understand that all that blood shed was about me, about Jesus Christ, giving his blood, not for atonement, not for pardon. Atonement is just simply a covering. It's temporary. The sin was still there. See, the blood of bulls and goats can't remove sin. It just could only cover it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could cleanse us of our sin. Only the blood of Christ could remove our sin. And it wasn't pardoned. Pardon gives this idea. You're guilty. You've committed the crime. You've done whatever you've been accused of. However, let me give you this pardon. Let me release you. Let me set you free. See, God doesn't see us that way. The best word is found in the New Testament, and it defines what we are, and that's justified. Justification is one of the most powerful truths and one of the most powerful principles in all the Word of God, because it has to do with how God sees us. See, God imputes his righteousness to us, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We don't get to heaven on our own righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. We get to heaven on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and God places that on our account. It's imputed righteousness. And what happens is, when God sees us, he does not see us. When God looks upon us, he sees Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You say, Brother Fred, I'm a sinner. Not under the blood, you're not. That blood has cleansed you. And your faith in Jesus Christ has allowed God to exchange your unrighteousness for his righteousness. And watch this. God justifies us, and here's what this means. Not just as if you'd never sinned. And so many people define justification as just as if you'd never sinned. I want you to remember this. Please jot this down. Make a mental note of this. Justification does not mean just as if you'd never sinned. God sees us just as if we were never a sinner. Isn't that so powerful? Do you realize in Jesus Christ, because of his imputed righteousness, the way that God sees us is just as if we've never sinned? Now that's amazing, isn't it? That is true salvation. That's what we find in the scripture. And we find in the book of Leviticus that atonement is through the blood. And then in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9, we see our Savior lifted up. Oh, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. Of course, it's repeated in the New Testament. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 9, we find that the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining. Murmur, 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 murmur. It's not a joyful noise in the ears of our God. God doesn't like a complaining spirit. Did you know that? God despises that. May we not be guilty of the same crime, the same sin that the children of Israel were, and that's just complaining. But because of their much complaint, God sent fiery, or that literally means poisonous snakes, and they were biting the children of Israel, and they were dying. Well, Moses prayed for them, and God had a beautiful master plan that would picture Jesus Christ. And remember, God told Moses to put a brass serpent on a pole and to lift it up high in the air. And everyone that will look to that brass serpent, when they looked, they would live. Ultimately, a picture of Jesus Christ being lifted on the cross. You say, Brother Fred, is that me? Or I'm sorry, is that Christ pictured as a serpent? Oh, absolutely. I must have you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you turn there, please? Because I want you to see this. You say, Brother Fred, how is it possible that God could view or see Christ as a serpent? I want to share it with you. It's going to take longer for me to find it than it will for you. So I want you to keep turning there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I want you to be location conscious in the scripture. And let me help you with this. I want to find this verse many times, and I don't know what number it is, but I just know it's the last verse. Now, before I tell you that, and I've already told you, but before you just process that, I want you to understand what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is about. Remember that Paul begins to talk about the tabernacle, his body, and then we have this great statement that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a very important truth that all of us need to be familiar with, and you need to be able to find 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in your Bible. But now look with me at the last verse. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, here's what I want you to see. The reason why that the Lord Jesus Christ was pictured as a serpent on the cross is because he took our sin for us. He became sin for us. And understand that sin is not pretty in the eyes and the mind of God. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9, if you'll turn back there with me. The Bible says, "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass," look what the Bible says, "he lived." That's the reason why we sing the song, "Look and Live." We look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that's what faith is? Faith is looking away from yourself. Faith is looking away from the world. Faith is looking away from everything and looking unto Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now look with me at the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18 is where we'll go to. This is the next time we see the thread appear, the scarlet thread that's making its way to Bethlehem to be born as a virgin Emmanuel, God with us. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. I hope you're there. And this is a picture, and I hope that you'll write this here. We found in Genesis is the promise of the Messiah. In Deuteronomy, there's another aspect of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and the ministry of Jesus is so complex. There is so much to know about our Savior. There's nothing simple about Christ. Oh, he's made salvation simple. Oh, but all the books in the world, and if all the books that were written about Christ, the last verse in the book of John, if they all couldn't contain, this world couldn't contain the books that could be written about our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I want you to think about this. When you think about Christ, this is another aspect, the prophet who was to come. He was the prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." Notice it's capitalized. This is in reference to our Savior, Jesus Christ. "From the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." This is the promise that our Savior would not only be a Redeemer and Messiah, but he'd also be a prophet. Now I want to continue, and I have just maybe, we'll go over maybe just one or two more of those, and then we'll pick back up next week. And I'm just trying to catch up, and next week I won't do this. I'll try not to at least. I left these at home on purpose, so I didn't do that, but Let's look at the book of Joshua. Now we have moved from the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament law. Now there are 12 books of history. Let's see how far we can get. The first one's the book of Joshua. And the verse that I want you to look at is Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. And now we find Christ is the captain of our salvation. Isn't that beautiful? Christ is revealed to us in the book of Joshua as the captain of our salvation. Joshua 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld, and stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now, before you don't turn, keep your eyes peeled on this verse, and I want you to see why we know this is Jesus Christ. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Now, two things. Number one, he was not rebuked. And number two, he was told to put his shoes off because he was on holy ground. He was in the presence of Jesus Christ. In the book of Judges, we find time and time again, man did that which was right in his own eyes. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 16, we find the failure of man and the need for a perfect deliverer. And Jesus Christ is the perfect deliverer. As you look through the book of Judges, you'll notice these men that God used to deliver. I love the story of Gideon. It's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. And I love the story of Samson. And those are just two of the judges, but there's many, many others. These judges were raised up to deliver the nation of Israel. Now, what is our Savior? He is the deliverer. Think about this for just a moment. He has delivered you. He is delivering you. And he will deliver you. He's still, our deliverance is not finished. It is not complete. He is the great deliverer of our soul. Judges chapter 2, verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. And then mark this in your Bible. Which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And again, it may not be a bright scarlet thread that you see here, but you can see a glimpse of Christ, the perfect deliverer. And then look with me at the book of Ruth. We're almost finished. We're out of time. But in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 14, we find that he's the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer. And notice where he's at. He's in Bethlehem. In chapter 4 and verse 14, you find one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 14, And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. And I want to say, watch this. Blessed be my heavenly Father. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Almighty God. Bless and praise his holy name. Bless the Lord God Almighty, who has not left us, without a redeemer. I am thankful that God has not left us here to perish in our sins. God has kept his word. God has kept his promises, and he has provided for us a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. The Bible says that his name may be famous in Israel. And I'll stop there with Ruth, and this will be the last one we read tonight. But what a beautiful glimpse, what a beautiful picture of our Savior as the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth. Now, I just want to remind you that I'm just reviewing some of the ground that we've covered in Sunday school already. And I want you to look. I have studied and restudied. I'm so excited about teaching these next lessons. I'm so anxious about it. I just can't wait to share with you what the Lord's given me. And to be honest about it, tonight we were just, we weren't spinning our wheels because we were talking about Christ, but we're just getting started. I'm going to ask you to be faithful as much as you can. And I want you to learn as much as you can from God's word. Before we're dismissed, I want to end with a very powerful verse in the book of Ezra. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11, and maybe you might meditate on this as you go home. And let's begin with Christ and let's end with Christ. If you'll stand with me, we'll read this, and then we'll go home. Do you have your Bible open? Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11. Let's read together. Would you read with me? The Bible says, "And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." Isn't it beautiful? Our God is worth praising. He's a wonderful God. Let's bow our heads together and we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Father in heaven, I ask that you would bless now in this time of invitation. I pray that you'd use it for your honor, for your glory. Help us now as we worship you in Jesus' name. It might be that you just want to come and gather around the altar tonight just for a moment and just praise the Lord. Just worship Him. The altar's open. The invitation's being given. Brother Dave's going to sing for us. If you'd like to come, would you come and pray? Isn't God good? Hasn't He been good to you? What a great Savior. What a great Redeemer. Precious Heavenly Father, it's been a great meeting, and I sure have enjoyed talking about my Savior. It's such a blessing, such an encouragement to me to be able to talk about Jesus. Lord, I just ask that you would bless our time together now, and I pray that this time, this season that we've been able to spend in your Word would be encouraging, and Lord, it'd be helpful. I pray that you'd help us to see Christ. Lord, help us to honor and glorify you. Lord, help us to magnify thy precious and holy name. We ask it all now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Brother Dave Jr., will you come and dismiss us in prayer? And before we go, I want to encourage you to do something. Sunday is a special day for me. This will be the first Sunday morning that I will get to preach as pastor. And I need you to pray for me throughout the week. I've already started. I already know what I'm preaching. Unless the Lord changes my mind, I want to be sensitive. But I'm excited about it, and I'm studying, and I'm writing, and I'm praying, and I want you to help me. Would you do that? And I just want it to be a special day. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you not only to pray, but I want you to check on somebody. How many of you know that somebody has been missing for a while? You got somebody in your mind, somebody just hasn't been here for a while, and you're thinking, man, I could invite them, I could encourage them to come back. How many of you say, Brother Fred, I'll invite somebody to come with me on Sunday? Would you raise your hand? Will you do that? Praise the Lord. Man, that'd be a blessing. Encourage somebody to come with you and just pray. If you don't know of anybody like that, take some of these tracks and try to find somebody. Let's encourage folks to be with us on Sunday. Brother Dave, will you dismiss us in prayer?